Good evening. It's a pleasure to be back again here in New Cumnock to share with you a word in the Gospel. Now we're going to read, please, just two verses in John chapter 14. John chapter number 14, verse number 5 and 6 we're going to read this evening. Fourth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, chapter 14 and verse number 5. Thomas, that's one of his disciples, saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And God will add a blessing to the reading of his word this evening. Now we have there just a very simple, right on the surface of it, a question and the reply, the answer from none greater than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. His disciple Thomas, often referred to, as I'm sure you are aware, as Doubting Thomas. That man who walked with the Lord for 3.5 years, and here at the end of the time of the Lord Jesus here on earth, just before he would go to Calvary's cross here to die for your sins and for mine, he was in that upper room and just spending a quiet time with his beloved disciples and telling them about what was to come and what was to be, and telling them of how he would leave them to go away from this world, and they couldn't understand it. And poor Thomas was a bit anxious, I'm sure, and there might be one in the audience this evening a bit anxious for your soul's eternal welfare. And maybe you're a bit like Thomas and you're asking, how can we know the way? How can you know the way to heaven? How can you be assured that at the end of this life, this short life of ours, which for the best part is probably about 70 or 80 years long, and in the face of eternity, such a short time we're here to live this life, and at the end of it, the great eternity, and where will we spend it? And maybe you're a bit anxious this evening and you're wanting to understand and to find out how you can know the way to eternal security, to this eternal life that you may have heard about, and to know that your soul will never end up in that awful place of hell and eventually the lake of fire. So Thomas asked the question, dear friend, and we just want to look at that question this evening and some of the answers that people would try and answer to it. A question like that, how can we know the way? But the most important thing, dear friend, is the answer that we've read from this evening, the verse after it. You can get no greater answer than looking to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he there tells us that he says, Thomas, and he's telling you, dear friend, in the meeting this evening, he says, I am the way. There's no doubt about it, he is the way. It's not one of many, dear friend, he's the only way. He says it is the truth and it is a life. And if there's any doubt about where you spend eternity, he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if we do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, here in New Cumnock this evening, then we'll miss eternity with God and his lovely Son. There's only one way that you'll ever experience eternity with God in his heaven, and to escape that awful judgment which each and every one of us deserves, to be cast into hell and the lake of fire for all eternity, forever and ever, to be separated from God and his lovely Son. And dear friend, I'm sure there's no one in the meeting this evening who has any understanding at all. From just the youngest of the boys and the girl in the meeting this evening can understand that they do not want to spend eternity in that awful place the Bible talks about as being hell and the lake of fire. Thomas asked the question, dear friend, and maybe you're asking, you've been pondering questions in your heart over many weeks now, or it's maybe just coming to you that you're in an awful predicament before a holy and a righteous God. But dear friend, the God's word is very clear about our position before him. And there is not a but man, woman, boy or girl who has ever been born without sin. And the Bible tells us, Apostle Paul in Romans, in chapter number 5, can say, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, you're not, death isn't going to pass upon you just because of Adam's sin. It's going to pass upon you because of your own sin. And the sin that's in your life and in my life, dear friend, if unrepented of and your sins are not forgiven, then God's word is very clear that there is no place for you in heaven until you come repentingly to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save you from your sins. You see, the one who we're speaking to you about this evening, the one who we uplift to you this evening, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That one who, from before time began, in the eons of eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father God created that wonderful plan of salvation for you and for me. And there is this opportunity in 2008 for you again. I don't know, maybe the first time you've been in the hall. But no matter what, dear friend, God is speaking to you from his word this evening. And please do not take it as words coming from myself or any other of the Christians which gather in the gospel hall here. But the words which we speak to you are the words of eternal life and they're the words of the Bible. And the Bible is in fact the words of God. And the Bible tells us itself that they're God-breathed and God-inspired. And there is nothing about the Bible which could be contradicted. Many things which I say could be contradicted. And I may even say something wrong this evening, but dear friend, if you want to refer back to anything which say, always refer it back to the Word of God. And to look to that to see what answers for the questions that we may have, for what our eternal welfare would be if we go out from time into eternity this evening. Now Thomas asked the question, how can we know the way? He was obviously anxious to know how he could get to God's heaven. You see, in the verses previous, the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to his disciples, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he goes on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And he says this, he says, if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to those who have trusted in him. And dear friend, if you have not put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, these words that we have just quoted to you, that where I am, there you may be also, will not apply to you this evening at this moment in time. But the great news of the gospel is that if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, ask him to come into your life, ask him to forgive you of your sins, because you see, he paid the punishment for each and every one of us. For every man, woman, for every boy and girl, the Lord Jesus Christ there on Calvary's cross paid the price which was due to each and every one of us. There was not a sin which was not punished upon the Lord Jesus Christ in that cross of Calvary. And his Father God forsook him to punish him for each and every sin which would ever be committed, and for all sin that was put upon the precious person of his lovely Son. And there at Calvary's cross, where he shed his blood, that you and I, our sins, could be all forgiven. You see, the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission. And there is no opportunity for anyone, man, woman, boy or girl, without blood being shed, to have our sins forgiven. But we're thankful to God this evening. And we're thankful when we look at his word to read that there his Son in Calvary's cross paid the price and shed his precious blood, that there is not one soul who has ever been born or ever shall be born who cannot be saved for all eternity. Sad to say though that many men and women, boys and girls have already landed in that lost eternity and will be there forever and forever. But dear friend, God has given you another opportunity this evening, and in his grace and in his mercy, he is outstretching his arm, offering you his wonderful salvation this evening, if you would only but come and put your faith and trust in him. The Bible tells us and makes it clear, this verse especially, that I am the way. There is only one way. But dear friend, there is no other way this evening that you or I could get into heaven. The religions of this world, they'll tell us that there is one God and many ways to get there. But dear friend, we want to tell you from the word of God this evening, you'll not find that in the Bible which we have read from. There is only one way. The Bible could say there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And that man, Christ Jesus, is the only way that any man, woman, or boy or girl could ever come and have their sins all forgiven. He paid the punishment. He paid you the price that you deserve to pay. And there is nothing that in any of us that can, we can change ourselves. Our brother Stuart, in his prayer this evening, spoke about regeneration. And dear friend, that is what is needed. It is salvation that is needed for each and every one. If you ever want to be fit for God's heaven, you must take up his offer of salvation. It's not something that for you and I is an option. The Lord Jesus Christ, and earlier on in John's Gospel, could tell us, when he spoke there to Nicodemus, he could say to Nicodemus, he says, Nicodemus, he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And again, when Nicodemus was failing to grasp what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to him, he says, marvel not, if I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And maybe there's someone in this, within the hearing of our voice this evening, in this hall this evening, who up until now has not had their sins forgiven. You have not been born again. You have not been made right with God. Then maybe just this very evening you realise that God again, in his grace and his mercy, is speaking to you and asking you to accept his way, which is the only way. As we've said already, the religions of the world promise you many things, many ways to God, and dear friend, the Bible contradicts it. The Bible tells us that there is only one way. The world religions, dear friend, tell us if you do this or do that, or pay for this or pay for that, then you might be all right. There are no guarantees, there's no concreteness about these world religions, but we are not here to preach religion. And we're not even here to knock it, dear friend, but we're here to uplift a man who is now in the glory. Not a dead saviour. Not someone who has died and was buried and never rose again. Just in 2 weeks' time now, the Easter Sunday will be upon us. And again, each and every one who would trust would be thinking about the Easter story and what it means. And dear friend, that is what the message of the Gospel is all about. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ who died on Calvary's cross for your sins and for mine. And how he shed his precious blood there on the cross of Calvary. But dear friend, it is so much more than that, because if that was the end of the story, then each and every one of us, myself included, would be doomed to a lost eternity. But thanks be to God, his word tells us that he rose from the grave the third and appointed day. And there's some things in the Gospels we only hear once. And there's some things in the Gospels we might hear twice. But in every Gospel account, we'll hear these things about how the Lord Jesus Christ died and how he rose again. And today, dear friend, he has risen in the power of an endless life. He's never going to die again. And he's sitting in heaven and seated at God's right hand this evening, just waiting to be your very saviour. If you'll only come and trust him. And he says that I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, dear friend, and if you have not yet come to him, and eternity is drawing nigh for each and every one, we don't need to look too far around us to see the evidences of the end of life. The graveyards in this country are full. And there are those around about us and our families, and we've all experienced it, some closer than others. But dear friends, we've all lost a loved one of some way, shape or form. And it is just a testimony to you again this evening of how God will have give you the opportunity to hear his Gospel. But dear friend, there will come a time where it could be your last opportunity. And that's what we would urge you for this evening, that you would choose wisely for eternity. If this was something that could wait till next week or even tomorrow, dear friend, we really could afford not to have the Gospel meeting this evening. But this is something of utmost importance to each and every one who has not yet accepted the Lord Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. If you do not accept him in time, dear friend, it will be far too late, and there is no reversal once you reach that other side into eternity. The Bible is very clear, and again the Lord Jesus in his own words warns each and every one of us. And if you want to look it for yourself in Luke chapter 16, there you'll find and read about two men, a rich man who died and lifted up his eyes being in hell, And the poor man Lazarus, who had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and he, when he died, was carried up into Abraham's bosom. You see, he was saved. He didn't have any of the lavish things in life, but what he did have was the most important thing that anyone could have. And it's eternal security, to be assured of that place and that home in heaven. And that is what we are wanting this evening, dear friend. If we could save you, trust me, we would. But it's just in God's grace and in God's divine order that each and every man and woman, boy and girl, will have to make that choice for themselves. Whether to accept the message of the gospel. And when you have accepted the message of the gospel, there is nothing sweeter to hear than about your Saviour who died for you and who has risen again and is now seated at God's right hand. And dear friend, if you are not yet saved, we just trust that the Spirit of God will brood upon your soul this evening. And it will convict you, because there's none else can convict you of your sins like the Spirit of God. And we can tell you of your sins and we can warn you of your sins, but the Spirit of God will convict you. And you have a conscience, dear friend, given by God. And you know as well as I do the things that you think and say and do. And I'm not coming here to point a finger, because if I was coming here, I'd need to point four at myself first. But we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 would tell us that. But dear friend, there is that way that we have to go. And the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7 could say, enter in at the straight. I'll just read it actually so we don't misquote it, because we get confused with Luke chapter. Matthew 7. And we are entered in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is warning you that there is that way which, and we are warned about it in Proverbs, the way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that's why, dear friend, there are so many people confused out there in this world this evening. And they think they are going about it the right way, and they're paying for their salvation, or they're trying to work for their salvation. But God's word says that we cannot work for it, and we cannot pay for it. Because the price has been paid and the work has been done in that cross of Calvary all those years ago. Almost 2,000 years ago now, from the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up in that cross at Calvary, and he paid the punishment, and the work was done there at Calvary's cross. And we sing that hymn sometimes back home, done is the work that saves, once and forever done. There's nothing else can be done or added to God's salvation. God's salvation is full and God's salvation is complete. And there's nothing that you can do to try and add to it. It really would be a mockery to God to think that you could add to it. And the God of heaven is a God who is a complete God. He's a God of love, the Bible tells us. And dear friend, that is so true, and it is evidenced to us by the fact that he sent his Son. Is it John chapter 3:16, the Lord Jesus again, the speaker, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear friend, God's love can never be questioned. People question God's love, but he gave his utmost. He could have given nothing more. And he is able and willing to save you. And his love is outstretched again to you this evening. And his grace and mercy is poured out to you, that you might just trust his Son for salvation. But dear friend, there is coming that awful day when God will send. It's an awful day for those who have rejected the Saviour, should I add, because it's a great day for those of us who have accepted him. He's going to send his Son to mid-air to take from the world his own. This section we read in John chapter 14. If I go, I will come again. But dear friend, that will be an awful day for men and women, boys and girls of New Cumnock in this world of ours, who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible would tell us that in that day, it's too late for salvation. In that day, then, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to take from the world his own, and all those who are left for judgment. And it will be an eternity away from God, and like the man in Luke chapter 16, there is no opportunity then. There is a great gulf fixed, he was told, and it was too late. He should have done it in his life. He then pleaded for his brethren, and for his close family, but Abraham told him, they have the law, the Moses and the law. And dear friend, you have the word of God this evening, and it's so gracious of God to have it written in our mother tongue. We don't need anybody to translate it for us, it's been done. And we can just read the word of God for ourselves and find therein the words of eternal life and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the answer to Thomas's question that day, how can we know the way? I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There may be a doubt in your mind though, dear friend. Thomas was a doubt bell. He was an unbeliever really, but people call him Doubting Thomas. But if you want to think of Thomas as a doubter, we'll forgive you that this evening. And you might have doubts in your mind about the existence of God, or is this God really true that the Bible speaks about? Dear friend, I would just like to point you to the world around you, creation in itself. There are so many things that you could look at. And as I was driving through this afternoon, the snow was heavy and the flakes were massive, big massive flakes coming down, and the scientists tell us that there's not ever two snowflakes the same. And I just started to think about it, and even then, in the thousands of years that the snow has come down, never one flake has been alike another. And again, we understand through science and from doctors better here to tell us this ourselves here in the hall, but eyes are never the same and fingertips are never the same. And these things, dear friend, just do not happen by chance, I do not feel. And God is speaking to every one of us with the creation that he has created. And it puts away evolution from our minds when we think of how these things cannot happen by chance. And dear friends, the God of the Bible, as we have said, is a God that cannot lie. And he's a God who is offering you again this opportunity to accept his Son for salvation. But God's word tells us, and God tells us himself, that whosoever's name is not written in the Lamb's book of life is cast into the lake of fire. And that, the Bible tells us, is the second death, dear friend. And there are so many evidences in our Bible that tell us of the love of God, but they also tell us, and it's well balanced with the judgment of God that will come to each and every one who does not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and their personal saviour. The thing that gripped me when I was a young boy, like looking at some of the children here in the meeting this evening, and when I was a young lad, I was always brought up, and you should thank God for parents and relatives who just seek your eternal well-being by bringing you to meetings such as this. You may not want to be here, and you may have no desire to come along to meetings such as this, but you are hearing God's word being read and spoken to you. You're hearing about how you are a sinner before the God of heaven, and that you need his salvation if you ever want to be in eternity. And as a young boy, I never can remember ever not knowing about the gospel, because it was just from a baby like Josh up there in the back. And I cannot remember the first meeting I was at, because I was taken from a pram. But from ever the first of my recollections, I knew that there was a God in heaven, and I knew all about the Lord Jesus Christ and the story of this gospel. But the thing that gripped me was this thing here about John chapter 14. The fear that the Lord might come again. And you've heard about how the Lord Jesus Christ will come to take from the world his own. And maybe you're like me when I was just your age, and fighting for your life that the Lord Jesus Christ would come, and knowing that you're not saved. And what shall then be? The Bible tells us, on them that reject not, believe not the gospel. Dear friend, the Bible answers itself all the time, and it says that the end of those who believe not the gospel of Christ is eternity in hell and the lake of fire. We trust that you will not be one of these people who reject the Lord Jesus and reject the message of the gospel. And we trust that something, although scattered thoughts we believe this evening from these two verses of Scripture, how can we know the way? And the Lord Jesus Christ's answer is full enough for any of us. We could have sat down really at the start of the meeting having given the full answer by saying that I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Remember, you're dealing with someone, the God of heaven, the God who cannot lie and the God who cannot fail. As a young boy in the Sunday school, we used to sing, God can do anything. God can do anything. God can do anything but fail. It's the only thing he cannot do. He cannot fail and he cannot die. And you're dealing with one such as that this evening, dear friend. And for your eternal well-being, we urge you and we plead before you this evening that before it is eternally too late, that you will trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and your personal Saviour. Come to Him repentantly for the things you have done, the sins that are in your life, the sin that is in your life. And just ask Him to look at, to forgive you of your sins. He will not just look over at your friend, because He has paid the punishment for your sin. And because if you come to Him in repentance and faith towards Him, the Bible promises that you'll get eternal salvation. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. We'll just add the end of the meeting with a word of prayer, shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we come to Thee at the close of this another gathering. We think of what has been said this evening. We just trust that there may be something of what we have said that the Spirit of Thy Holy Spirit will be able to use to any soul in the gathering who is troubled concerning salvation, to any soul in the gathering who as of yet has not put their faith and trust in Thy well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the One who died on Calvary's cross and shed His precious blood that they might be saved. And we trust that at the end of this meeting that they can and they will know the way, and that He is the only way if they ever want to be in heaven at the end of life's journey. We just plead with Thee to help some dear soul this evening to get over that hurdle of the pride that is in each and every one of their lives, and to be broken before Thee on behalf of their sin, and to repent towards Thee and have faith in Thy Son. We ask Thee to help someone make this massive step, the biggest step they can ever make, that step of faith. We just ask Thee to do it, help them to do it this evening in the Saviour's worthy and precious name. Amen. Someone may have a hymn. If there's anything that I have said during the meeting that has maybe caused confusion, trust me, it is not anything to do with God's word. It is entirely my fault. And you may want to have a word with me or someone you feel more familiar with to iron out any of the problems that I may have caused by saying. But we just trust that God will bless you with His salvation this evening. Thank you.